And this morning, we're going to look at the chapter 3, but I want you to think about that question this morning. Do you even believe that you need saving this morning? I get the Richmond magazine so I can pray for the city and also every once in a while find a great restaurant or something like that. And this was the cover of today's, and I meant to take a picture of it. It says, there's this woman here with just this crazy great hair. And it's like, how to get great hair. And I'm thinking, this magazine is totally useless to me. This does not relate to my life at all. I can't use this. And as I was, you know, dealing with my own desires to have flowing locks of hair, the Lord said, you know, Sean, that's how a lot of people read my book. They're like, I don't relate to that. I don't even know if I need that. And I was listening to Francis Chan talk on a video, and he said something that really got me thinking about what we're going to do in Galatians. And, you know, to understand the book of Galatians, you have to understand how different the world, different the gospel is from the world. And here are the two most popular and dangerous lies in the world, and Francis Chan shared these, so give him the credit. Lie number one is, you are a good person. And lie number two is, a God of love would never punish sin and evil. Now, I don't know if you believe that, and our world definitely believes these two lies. And our world, and most churches kind of indirectly, I'm sure I've done it sometimes poorly, so we actually promote these two thoughts. That somehow I'm a good person, and you know, if you just give me time, and if you give me the right relationships, and if people would stop doing so many bad things to me, and if I could just have that one opportunity, you know, on my own, eventually, I would do good all by myself. Because I'm good. And I think sometimes we shirk away from hearing that we're not, because we kind of feel like that means we're not important, or that we're still not a gift. The Bible doesn't say that you're not a gift, it just says, you and yourself have a sinful nature, a selfish nature, and you're not good. And it doesn't matter what set of circumstances come around your life. It doesn't matter if you get all the money you've ever wanted and all the power you've ever wanted and all the health you've ever wanted and all the relationships you've ever wanted. It doesn't matter if you get all that. You will not do good. Not in the long run, because you're selfish. You can't even keep up with your own standards, let alone God's. And we all know this, and the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's one of the reasons we need a Savior. But if you truly believe in your own heart that you are good, and then you don't need a Savior. And you don't need the Bible, because the Bible's all about from the understanding that you need a Savior. And then, of course, number two is, well, a God of love, you know, he wouldn't sentence people to hell, and he wouldn't punish evil and sin and eternally balance things to the correct justice. And of course, if you just take a minute to think about that, you recognize that that's not even logical, because a God can't possibly be loving if he's not just. Because if someone brutally harmed you out of just sin and hatred and prejudice, you could not say that God was not a loving God if he didn't bring justice to that action. God would cease to love you if he did not punish that sin. This world says, well, no, of course not. But the Bible says that God is both a God of love and a God of wrath, that he's a God that punishes sin, because that's love. But in his love, he's given every person the opportunity to come under his mercy and come under his saving power. There's not a person, no matter what they've done and where they've been, no matter where you've done or what you've thought in your head about God or said in public about him, there's not anybody here who can't find forgiveness and peace in Jesus Christ. There's not anybody here who can't find peace and love. And we're going to explain why that is through what we did during communion as we remember the cross. But it just kind of hit me that if you don't believe, if you believe those two lies, then this means nothing to you, this message. Who cares what Galatians says about being saved? I'll just save myself. Well, Paul's talking to a bunch of people who know that they're not good on their own and know that they need something more and know they need to be saved. And the whole debate of Galatians is how? How does salvation happen? And so that's what we're going to look at. look at in chapter 3. You'll see the next slide. Paul, who's the writer of Galatians, he radically opposes those two greatest lies, those most dangerous lies of the world. And if you go to the next slide, in Galatians 3, Paul reminds them how they are saved from their sinful nature and can consistently live in a new life from God. And if you recognize in your own heart this morning that you need a Savior, and if there's something in you that desires to live a new life that's filled with His love and His peace, then you should listen to this message this morning, because Paul tells the truth about what is amazing grace, when God does for us what we can never do for ourselves. And so as the next slide is put up, I'm going to ask you to pull out your outline and stand with me as I read the scriptures here that we will be focusing on. And you can just follow along if you don't have an outline with you. Paul speaking to the Galatians, verses 1 through 5. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing if it really was for nothing? Does God give us His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you have heard? And he'll be speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says later in verse 14, God redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. He later says in Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our heart. And that moment, if you take to learn what a firstborn son meant, Paul is applying that both to men and women. It's actually honoring the position of women as receiving the first benefits of the firstborn son, just as every other member of the family. And then look at these passages we'll look at again, because Paul is referring to what a promise that's always been in the Bible. It's been hundreds of years old. Ezekiel 36, God speaking, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Joel 2, it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, even on male and female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit. Isaiah 44, I will pour out my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Let's pray. Lord, we this morning recognize that we are not people who can save ourselves, nor do we have any good works to offer except by your Spirit. Lord, teach us what it means to be crucified with Christ, to die to our sinful nature, and then to allow the Spirit of the living God to fill us, that we might actually fulfill all the things you ever said in the law, but not in our own effort, but by the love of your presence in our lives. Lord, for each person here who is made to be filled with your presence, there's not a person in this room who is not made to be filled with your presence. Lord, whatever has been musty and undone in the rooms of their heart, may you clear them out today so that they can be filled in a fresh way with your love. Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us, and I commit myself to leading us, Lord, as you desire. Give me the grace to do so. Give each person anointing to hear what you want to say to them. In Christ's name I pray, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. In this slide, Paul says, look, you heard that the way you were saved was that Jesus Christ was crucified. And then, because of that crucifixion, you receive the Holy Spirit. And so the next slide tells us this, that Paul is trying to put the emphasis on the Holy Spirit because it's our greatest need. You see, what we need is not changed behavior by itself. What we need is not more religion. And what we need is not just more determination. What each of us need is a new spirit. And when Paul says this, he is not just saying some kind of new agey vibe thing, like just, you know, I just love your spirit. You just got the right spirit. He's not like doing that. He's saying, look, the human spirit is so broken, but the Holy Spirit, if you'll die to your old self and allow that to empty on out, if you'll pour that out, then I'll pour into you my Holy Spirit. And Paul is not saying this flippantly, but he's really reviewing the whole story of the Bible. And we read some of these verses. I just want to reiterate them to you. You don't need to write them down, but just think about them. Next slide, please. Paul's saying, look, you've got to live by faith, and you've got to receive the Spirit. And in Galatians chapter 3, you've been studying it this week. The first example he gives is Abraham, which is brilliant, because Abraham's the founder of Judaism. So all these Jewish Christians who are saying you need to live by our Jewish culture, he says, well, no, not even the father of Judaism was declared righteous because of his own good behavior and his own works. No, it says that he believed and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Galatians 3:14, Paul makes that connection that to believe that by God we'll be right, we'll be righteous, we'll be right with him, right with ourselves, right with others, and is to receive the Holy Spirit. And he's not just thinking of Abraham. He'll say it some ways through the whole book, but next slide. He's referring to the Old Testament promise of the new covenant. I read this, and I want you to hear this again. And I want you to especially think of Galatians 2:20, that is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This life I live in faith in the one who loved me and gave himself. Just think about that verse when you're hearing this promise from the Old Testament. I will sprinkle you clean. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of stone of flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Sorry, typo. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. What's he saying? He's saying, when my spirit comes in you, I'll live through you and fulfill all the right things to do in life. And this morning, if you're struggling doing the right things, you need to hear that verse. That it's God will fill us to give us the power to do it. We can't do them on our own. But he's also remembering, and we read these scriptures, next slide there, the promise of the prophets. There's so many places where God promises people just struggling with circumstances in life like you and I are, and God makes this promise, I will pour out my spirit. And then, of course, God bless you, Jesus is speaking also of, Paul's referring to what Jesus said, and this is the next slide, John 7:37-39. I think these words are important. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is, what's that next word? Thirsty. I want you to think about that. If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Jesus in John 6 says, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. I don't know what you're thirsty for this morning. I don't know if it's for your finances to work out. I don't know if it's for someone to love you the way that you've always hoped. I don't know if it's just to be at peace with certain circumstances or to have answers. I don't know what you're thirsty for, but Jesus says the word. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Because all of us are built to be thirsty. We're all built to want the presence of God come and fill our lives. And so with these words, Paul is declaring the gospel, I think sometimes we miss. And it's this next slide here. It's in your outline if you want to fill it out. Paul declares this is the gospel and the grace of God. And between filling it out and just thinking about it, just think about it. But here it is. Look, Christ paid, died to pay what he did not owe. He didn't owe for your sin. He gave you life. You know, he paid for what he did not owe. So number two, and this is the part of the gospel we miss, so you may die and receive what you did not earn. We don't keep our sinful nature and the Spirit of God together. We choose one or the other. And we have to choose to die to our sinful nature. And then number three, look, here's what grace is all about. When you receive that Spirit, his Spirit, I mean, Paul says it in chapter 3, doesn't it? It works miracles. And what are miracles? Miracles is when God does what you can't do. It's grace. That's grace. Miracles are grace, and some of them are amazing physical ones, and some of them nobody notices, but they're amazing in your heart and in your mind because you couldn't do that on your own. That's what grace is. We talked about it last week, and it's the next slide, and most of the slides the same. We talked about dying to your pride, to your fear, and to your own control. All of the self stuff. How I'm elevating myself, what I'm afraid of, and what I think I should do about it, and then how I'm going to fix it, and how you should fix it the same way I did, and you should be like me. Or maybe I should be like you, and it's all about self. But this is what the scripture says, that, look, God poured into you life. He poured in his Spirit. And his Holy Spirit, when it came alive, was just pure as water. It was just beautiful. But in this world, it's easy to get prideful. And, you know, all of a sudden, instead of just God's Spirit in our lives, well, you know, we're so sweet, you know, just kind of like some Kool-Aid in here, and, you know, we're just good, and, you know, we need a lot of us, actually. We really need some of us. I mean, that will really help things out, and that's just, you know, it's just so good. Of course, you know, maybe the guys, we're not sweet at all. All of us guys want to be a ninja, and so here's some soy sauce, and, you know, because that's just, yeah. Let's throw some of that in there, because we've got a dark, rugged, kind of dangerous side, don't we? And that's kind of, you know, so just watch yourself, because I'm a ninja, all right? And that's just good, but you know what? When it's all about our own pride, when it's all about our own strength, and we try to do everything else, well, people cross us, you know, and people disappoint us, and it's just like vinegar in our spirits, and our heart. Get ready. Fruit punch right after service. Oh, and it's just kind of nasty tasting, you know? And it's just, I don't know. You know, there's just, we're afraid. That whole bitterness just gets in us, and it just mixes in with everything else in our lives. And, okay. But that's not all, because pride and fear, you know, when we can't handle things, we usually turn to sin, to handle sin. We talked about that in the past. And so we just put some good old dirt in there too, don't we? Yeah. That's yummy. And for, you know, when we put it in, it kind of feels good that we can kind of put in whatever we want, but then once it's in us, it just kind of makes us sick. Right? And we kind of know that we've messed up, and so we kind of feel that way. And, you know, but we really should get our act together, so let's just put some man-made good works in there, like some Fabuloso. Okay, I can't do that. But poor Nidra's like, Pastor Nidra loves Fabuloso. All right, I'm not even going to put that in there, because I am going to take a sip of this. Now, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. Well, guess what? You were built to be thirsty. And so was everybody else around you. And so now we don't like the way this looks anymore, That's where fig leaves come in. Let's just hide so nobody can really see what's in there. But see, there's a problem. No matter who we are, like if we're parents, well, our kids are thirsty, so guess what? They drink from us all the time. Whoa! Yeah. Yeah. It's still working. But we pour out to everybody around us all the time. So you know what we try to do because of that? Well, we try to frame it all. So maybe some of us are just all prim and proper, and so this is how everybody sees, but you know what? To everybody else, we're still pouring out. Doesn't matter what the cup looks like. Still got the same stuff on the inside. And then someone drinks here, and, well, yeah, I'm not going to keep drinking. Well, let's just, you know, and somebody else, and we're all about hearts and love and stuff like that, and we just want to give. So we want people to do it, but we're still pouring out the same stuff all the time, no matter what the cup looks like. But maybe we just need more ancient rituals in our life. And if we were come from a different place, and maybe if we present who we are with just some really good religion, maybe that will make it something people want to drink. No? Well, no, but what you really need is a Cornerstone mug, because that will magically make it taste better. And so we'll do a whole bunch of stuff and pour out life to people and see it with Cornerstone in it. And it's still all the same spirit. And here's what gets kind of amazing. Because no matter what good work we do, no matter what we try to present to others, and to God, it's still got the same stuff, because this stuff is in it, and it doesn't come out just because you don't want it in you anymore. Actually, you do want it in you. You just want it to all work your way, and you'd be happy to keep it if it would. It's just making you sick. And so, oh, thanks. That was awesome of you. I've got some over here, though. So, along comes Jesus, right? Pure, no pride, no fear, never sins. And he comes to the cross, and he says, you know, Father, if it be your will, you know, please take this cup from me. And the Father says, no, you're going to have to pour your life out. Pour it out at the cross. And Jesus takes his life, nothing added, nothing contaminated, no sin, no bad attitude. I guess I'm taking all this with me. And he pours it out on the cross. He just pours it out. And that's what we celebrate at communion today. Pours it out. And he's empty. And the Bible says that he pours out his life. And then when Paul talks about in Galatians 2:20, he says, look, I'll make you a deal. Jesus poured out his life at the cross, and if you'll do the same, pour it out. Oh, I'm getting everything wet up here. Ugh. Says, where is that? Says, look, I'll clean you out, clean you up. Boy, I'm not going to be able to clean this out, am I? too much dirt. Good thing God's a lot better at this than I am. He says, I'll bring absolute forgiveness to you. And, you know, I think a lot of times, a lot of what we're struggling feels like this process right now. Like, I'm trying to get clean, God. I got a lot in there. He says, I'm going to clean you out. It's amazing because one of the things we usually don't realize is money are the paper towels in life or the church. You know, it's kind of like, you still got some stuff in you. I'm still tasting that. Someone who really is from the Lord in that process is usually our family because they're tasting it pretty often, right? Now, I can't obviously do the job I want to do to represent what God really does in this moment. But here's the deal. He cleans us out just as good as he does it perfectly. I'm just doing as good as I can right now. So some of us think our religion is this right here. Our goal is to be empty. Just my goal is no bad stuff in me. That's not what the gospel is. The gospel doesn't say that at all. The gospel says this. If you believe by faith, then what I'll do is I'll take what I poured out in the cross and I'll pour it into you. And that can be you. And so, whether you're just working on the construction site, I don't know why I think of construction site when I say this one. It's a lot better. Whether or not you're celebrating Christmas, that's a joke for some of us in church. We get that whole controversy. It's pretty good. Doesn't matter what nation your cup is from or what culture it's in. When you pour out, it's just good. It quenches your thirst and everybody else around you. Paul says the gospel is that when Christ paid the price for your sin and poured out his life, he didn't just pour out forgiveness. What he did was all that was poured out, if you'll do the same with your life, he'll pour right into you. That's what the Holy Spirit is. That's this life of faith that we live. If you see the next slide there, Paul says, look, you guys have it all wrong. You're thinking the real Christian, the real follower of Christ is the one who looks like this religious law or this behavior. They don't listen to this type of music, but they do listen to that music. They don't look like this, but they do look like that. They're from this type of place, but not that type of place. Paul's saying, are you kidding me? I don't care what the cup looks like. What counts is what's inside of it. And the only true mark of one accepted and righteous before God is the Spirit. That's the mark of a true Christian. Pretty soon in Galatians 5, what are we going to get to? We're going to get to, but the fruit of the Spirit is? Why? Because people are going to go, well, how do I know I have the Spirit? Pretty easy. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, down the row. So there's three questions on your outline. I just want to finish them up for you. What do I do with the law and good behavior? Should I just throw it out? No. If you read Galatians 3 and study it, and if you're going to read Galatians 4 and study it, Paul says this. Look, that's all this is. The law is just a mirror. And you've been drinking all this nasty stuff, even out of a cornerstone cup, and you're sick on the inside, the mirror will help you look and say, yeah, you don't look so good. But the answer isn't like, eat the mirror. It's just showing you that something's wrong. It's the mirror, but it's not the medicine. The law's never the medicine. Well, I'll just act better. No, that's not the problem. Put any cup you want around what's in on your spirit, but it's what's coming out of you that's the problem. It is it's the instructions. It's like you should act this way, but it's not the power to do it. It indicates thirst, but it cannot quench it. It indicates need, but it can't meet it. That's what Paul will say through the end of chapter 3 going into 4. It's, look, it's just a law. All is a mirror. And so the real question for you is this next one. What do you do with the Spirit? And if I could just, how do you say it? You can. You've got to pour your life out at the cross and say, God, fill me. You got to say, Lord, I believe that you made that exchange and you've offered this to me and I receive it. And God, every time I hear the wrong word come out of my mouth or I know the attitude that obviously I'm not saying anything, but everybody knows I have, when that's coming out of me, God, I want to repent and I want to empty myself again and again and again. And I just want to rely on the Spirit to live. And I want to expect miracles to happen. I want to expect grace to happen because it does. Next slide is, I think, where most Christians run into the wall. And it's this. Well, yeah, Pastor Sean, I believe in the Spirit. But there's a lot of things that I just can't fix. There's people I can't fix. So what do you do with them? Number one, stop doing this to them. Look at yourself. Look at you. Look at you. Keep looking at you. Eat the mirror and be better. Stop doing that. If you want, you can do this. Oh, I didn't know that was there. I should probably fix that. If you want, stop doing this. If you want, say, okay, God, I recognize some things that are indicating something's wrong in me. I see some things. And Lord, with that I do see that's wrong, the only thing I can do is come to the cross again and realize what's gotten in there again and just do it fresh. Pour it out. Pour back in. Come on, God. That's what constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit is about. Die to self. Die to your pride. Die to your fear. Yeah, but I'm just so afraid if I do this, and then if I really let go here, then I have nothing. It's like, I think you've got nothing until you really let go. And say, God, help me to be filled again. There's a lot of people in church that make the baptism of the Holy Spirit this one-time event. That's great. That's great that you get ushered into the Holy Spirit, that you can, the whole idea of the baptism is just that you get so filled, it's just running over. I mean, it's just not even you're just not even thinking about putting it in stuff like this. It's just running over, and everything around you is getting touched by the Holy Spirit, by God's presence in your life. It's not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. When Paul says, I die daily, when he says, I'm crucified with Christ, he's saying, look, every day I look and see what got in my spirit, and Lord, forgive me. I pour it out. I forsake it. And I ask him to just clean me out and to fill me again. You know, I always see whether it's relationships, whether it's addictions, whether it's just apathy. It's like, look, I'm not going to fix me. Paul says, really, God began all this, and now you're just going to try on your own? You're just going to go in there and try it by yourself to take all out that dirt and unmix all that stuff in your life? I say it to marriages a lot. It's like, look, did the Spirit of God bring you together? Now, if a marriage is bad for a certain amount of time, people take all their bad and then they back it up and they view everything through the pain they feel now. So they're like, I don't know. It's like, no, look, God brought you together. But you can't finish this. You can't make this what it's supposed to be in your own effort. You've got to live in the Spirit. And I want to tell, you know, people with relationships or family members, like, look, God began this in the Spirit. Are you really going to try to finish these relationships off in your own effort? Is that really going to work? Sometimes, whether it's the career God called us to, the educational process we're living in, it's like, hey, why are you doing that? You doing that just for fun, or did God speak to you to do that? Did the Spirit of God get that started in you? And now are you going to try to finish that in your own effort? Really? Paul says, are you going to be that foolish? You know we live in a world that lies to us a lot, wants to tell us we're good by ourselves, want to tell us, don't worry, God, you know, God will just let it all pass. God loves you so much, he'll let you be miserable the rest of your life and never deal with your sin. He'd love for you to live really subpar, have a relatively, you know, insignificant existence. No, he's really good with your sin. He loves you. It's like, no, he loves you way more than that. And he's calling you out. And the moment he calls you out, he can restore things that you never thought could be. He can fill you up. And even in the middle of all your repair, he can be pouring out beautiful things to all those around you. And I think, obviously, this morning's about receiving the Spirit in a fresh way. And we're going to take a few moments to do that. We've got a little time. And I'm going to ask you, you don't have to stand today. You can kneel. You can come up to the altar if you want. You can stand on your head if you'd like to. I don't care. I don't care what your coffee mug looks like. I care that the Spirit of God is really in you, and you've got to do that by faith this morning. So I'm going to ask you in these moments to just, yeah, put everything else away as you're already doing. I'm going to ask you to really take a moment and, as honest as you know how to be, who are you having faith in? And if it is really Jesus Christ, then pour out that pride, that fear, and that control. Pour it out. Put it at the cross again. Jesus poured all, he poured everything out for you. Pour out everything for him. And say, Holy Spirit, fill me in a fresh way. So whether you want to come up front, whether you want to stay where you are, stand up, whatever, again, I don't care. But would you humble yourself, and would you kind of put yourself in a position that's only you and God for the next few moments?